deciding from your Bibles. Let's go back to that book. I've never heard anybody say that Ecclesiastes is their favorite book. So, Brother Thad got us started off. We quickly found out why, didn't we? So let's go back to the book that he loves. And we heard this beautiful lesson today. And the overriding message to me was, we might be totally surrounded by a lot of things that we do not understand, but we stay positive. Praise God, because he's shown us the truth. He's shown us his word. Amen. Good to see everybody. We love you. And I know I'm going to try to preach as short as I can. And let me tell you how you can make it shorter. If you jump up and want the Holy Ghost, Espíritu Santo, con mucho gusto, ¿eh? I'm translating for you. I want Brother David to hear you some of that beautiful. Don't you love Spanish? Isn't it beautiful? I think it's one of the most gorgeous languages in the world. And it has such a cadence to it and such a rhythm. And so we'll throw a little of that out to make folks feel at home. Praise God. Good to see Monica. She just had an amazing blessing and kind of like a renewing, refreshing on Sunday. It was powerful. It was powerful. And there was another young lady down here that got under the glory of God down here. I love to see people get blessed. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you would, enjoyed everything this morning. The wonderful praise team. Praise God. Sing their hearts out. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3. For a dream. Somebody say dream. And when you see that word, also think of another word close to it. Vision. Okay, for a dream or a vision cometh through the multitude of business. That's really different, isn't it? Because you don't normally see that word business combined in the same sentence with the concept of vision or dream. And a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have made that commitment. I shouldn't have made that consecration. Don't say that. The angel's listening. Which one? The one assigned to you. I believe I could prove that by scripture. There's an angel assigned to you. I know there are at least two assigned to me. I lead such a roughshod, challenging life. And that was for sure this morning. I got to tell you about what happened this morning, maybe later on. But wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams or visions or a vision, such as a vision for the new year. For in the multitude of dreams and many words. See, are we known for our dreams or are we known to just talk? That's why the word business is in verse 3. And I'm going to translate this for you. I believe what the Lord is saying is don't be known as just a talkomatic. Don't be known as just a, how can I say this any plainer than this? Don't be just a gust of hot air. And people, you say a lot, but do little. He said in so many words, now this is why he used the word business, get down to business with your vision. Don't just talk a good game. I played racquetball. I am so rusty, right? I am. But I'm also, and some of you might know this, but I'm a little bit competitive. Is there anybody here that I've played racquetball with that knows what I can be on a racquetball court? But I'm just not my game. You know, I'm out of my game. I'm not. But anyway, I went to play this guy, and he was sort of full of braggadocio and really was so confident in himself and stuff. And So we put that to the test. But this is what I remember in that game. He's the only man I can ever remember. Of course, a lot of bragging, a lot of, we took some of that out, okay? We sort of destroyed some of that. But that hit himself in his face with his racket. So words, see, that doesn't impress me. Word, let's see how you do when you get on the court. Just come with me and let's get on the court. And then just see what about all this hot air and words. And God is not impressed with empty words. So he says, when you say something, step into that. Stand behind that. How many of us, now before we pray, when we first came to the Lord, what were things that we said? Oh, God, I'll go. We used to sing that song. I'll go where you want me to go. Anybody remember singing that song? And then he laid it on your heart to witness to your neighbor, and the neighbor's still waiting. He didn't ask you to go to Thailand. He didn't ask you to go to Afghanistan and witness to the Taliban. No, he just asked you to talk to your neighbor, and they're still waiting. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll what? I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. Let's ask God to help us get down to business with a new dream. God, we thank you. We thank you for the presence of God that we feel here. We thank you for the word that we've heard. Our teachers this morning, thank you, God, for our Sunday school and the marvelous teachers that ministered and the teacher that spoke so profoundly in our adult Bible class. Thank you, Lord, right now. Help us, Lord, for a few minutes. Help us to be a blessing of some kind to somebody. Would you wave your hands a little bit and worship the Lord just a little bit? Jesus, talk to me. Would you ask him? Jesus, talk to me. Jesus, talk to me. Praise God. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Is that Barbara and Sammy? Am I calling your names right? I think you are. All right. Run up here real quick. Would you run up here real quick? I want to give you. I can't give you candy right now, but I know you girls are smart in your own little notebooks. All right, just a little something. Praise God. We thank God for our young people. Amen. And those are beautiful kids, beautiful young people. I love them. And Jessica, I love you. Remind me after service, okay? The candy man cometh. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's the first of the year. The first of the new year. You know, it's not the first day. I'm saying the first month. It's the first. It's the front end. Up and thank, I appreciate Brother Sandy's coming. It's so good to get out of 2020. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So, I'm being challenged by the Holy Ghost to nail down a goal or something that I want improvement in or victory in. And so, I want to challenge you. I'm going to pass it on to you. I'm sitting over in the YMCA's dark, dark parking lot hours before they open this morning. And I've got my iPad. This is the Pro. It's got a chip that'll, it's a screaming machine. All right. It's got 256 gigabytes and on it goes more than I need. I'm just telling you, I had this out and I went into my calendar and I typed a statement in my calendar that's connected to a goal that I have this month, this week, this year. Praise God that I'm believing God to help me in. Do you have something nailed down in your life? Because the scripture says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, Sister Pam, that's sort of what I was trying to do last week in the most gracious way that I could, is just throw down a vision of maybe some something that, you know, has troubled us or, you know, kind of knocked us around a little bit. And I got to thinking this several times this week. Some of us have like a temptation that we've never really gotten victory over. It could be anything. It could be just an actual sin, but it could be just the fact that we've never really beaten the fire out of it and gotten the victory over it. There's a giant, in other words. David didn't come up with his slingshot and say, give me your pygmy. Give me your finest dwarf and let him come out here. And I'll do, you know, we'll have a little street fight with the best dwarf you can give me. He took on the big boy, didn't he? And this year, you know where your shoe pinches you, but I want to challenge you. I'm taking on, I can't encourage you to do this if I'm not doing it. So I'm taking on one of the big boys. Praise God. I'm going to try somehow. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Does anybody have a goal? Just stand up if you have at least one goal. Awesome. Okay. Praise God. Anybody else? You have at least one goal. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now you're getting me excited. Okay? And if you try to write it down, try to write it down. Maybe make a notation in your calendar. Have some reminders. Praise God. That's awesome. I got so perturbed at the NCAA when I discovered that, yes, they were going to let Ohio State play in the college, the collegiate football playoffs again. I appreciated that. Okay? Some folks didn't think we fight that every year. They don't think we're qualified to be there. Then we go and we proceed to show them that we are qualified to be there. Okay, but who do they always match us up with? Who do they always match us up with? Clemson! And I thought, why don't you let us play Notre Dame? Whip the socks off of them, and then come and play whoever wins the Alabama-Clemson game. Understand what I'm saying? Why do you always put Clemson in front of us? Because what's the deal? We've never beaten Clemson. Woody Hayes is not buried far from where my daughter is buried. Been to his gravesite. Now, didn't he teach us something? He got so Woody Hayes was fiery. I'm probably tame. Don't some of you that are old enough to know this, I'm probably tame when it comes to being compared to Woody Hayes. But he got so frustrated with Clemson. He got in a fight with one of them. And that was the end of his coaching career. But Clemson frustrated him, so I'm among good company, is what I'm trying to tell you. I thought, why do you always have to put the first team we play has to be Clemson? Can't you just change it up a little once in a while? But here's what I didn't know. I knew this, we almost beat them last year until the referees helped them. When you have to play the opposing team and the referees, it usually doesn't go really good. And there were some calls that were very iffy, okay, funky, iffy. But that's okay. We still should have beat them. We almost did. Came within 6 points. That's better than that one year. What was it, 31-0? 31-0. So they would mock us, taunt us, tease us. And when they went to say Ohio or spell Ohio, it wouldn't be O-H-I-O. It would be O-31-O. O-31-O, the year that we didn't even score on them when we played them in the playoffs. And then, some of you are not, Amber, you're competitive, right? Why don't you come down here and cheer me on? Anybody else that's real competitive, if you'd sit right here and just cheer me on. Because I don't have a whole lot to preach today, but I'm going to preach this. Come on, Brother Chris. Come on. Okay, both of you, come on. Would you really come down and cheer me on? Anybody else tired of hearing about Clemson? Tired of hearing about Clemson. And then Dabo Swinney, their coach, does something that he probably might wish now that he hadn't done. He added fuel to the fire and disrespected us in the media. I'll put it in the nicest way, okay? Of course, that becomes blackboard, whiteboard material. But what I didn't know was Coach Ryan Day, who is an amazing coach, the whole year since Clemson beat us, the whole year, slogans and banners and constantly talking about the fact we're going to play them again, God willing, next year, but we are going to beat them. And they made it a goal. I wanted to, you know, like, okay, can't we just play Notre Dame? Because everybody knows that Notre Dame loses in the college playoffs, right? Everybody knows that. Do great respect for that wonderful team and great coach. But I'm just saying that usually they're up, they're in, and they're out. Why don't let us play somebody like that? I don't want to play Clemson again the first time. Then let us play somebody that's a little easier to beat. No. And life is like that. You got something you can't overcome, and you think, I don't want to face that. But something, I'm going to tell you what, God gives you the Holy Ghost for a reason. God gives you promises for a reason. Oh, praise God. Listen to this one, Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, what? Grace did much more abound. What are you talking about? When he pours his grace on us, we can overcome anything. Praise my God. I said we can overcome anything. We can overcome unclean spirits. We can overcome unclean habits. Wouldn't that be something if this year you said, I am tired of this particular thing that I've allowed in my life plaguing me and throwing a shadow over my life. And so in 2021, I declare by the help of God, I am going to overcome that and put it under my feet, rise above it in victory, and not let it intimidate me. It could be anything. It could be an addiction. And let me tell you this. I feel like a great compassion for people that wrestle with addictions. It's crazy, and it's terrible, and it's terrorizing. And so I know that we need God's help, but we also need to make up our minds that it stops right now. I got a friend of mine that used to walk the streets of Milwaukee. Everybody left him alone. His hair was down to his waist. He was as broad as he was tall. He'd fit in New Jerusalem, wouldn't he? You know, 1,500 miles square by square by square. It's going to take square people to fit there in New Jerusalem. If you're not square, you probably won't fit there. He was that. And he had some brothers, and there had been some threats made by this motorcycle gang. And they used to hang out at a certain tavern. And he told me this story. He said he called his brothers, and they were armed to the teeth. And they walked into this hangout place where these guys had been tormenting them and making threatening calls on the phone. And they knew they were coming from this tavern. And so he says, now, this is not what I recommend. I'm just saying that sometimes you need a shootout. Thank you, Wyatt Earp. At the OK Corral, you're not OK because you never had the shootout. You understand what I'm saying? You're not okay with peace and okay with joy because you let people torment you or habits or pressures, you know, mess with you. When somewhere along the line, we've got to say, es terminado, the end. ¿Cómo se dice? The end in Espanol. Yeah, oh, yeah. Very good, muy bien. Thank you, Jesus. So they walked into this tavern. They had guns and knives and stuff on them. They were like armed to the teeth. And they formed a circle. This is Michael Papp, who became a great Pentecostal evangelist later, by the way. Apostolic evangelist. And they formed a circle in the middle of this tavern. And they said, all right, today the phone calls stop. The threats stop today. If not, bring it on. Bring it on. Let's rumble. Let's get this solved right now. You want to rumble? Let's do it right. They said windows were opening and guys were jumping out of windows and doors going out doors and jumping out of windows. And so And he said from that day forward, they never had one of those phone calls ever again. Because they set the stage for victory. See, we're coming into 2021. We've had an outrageous year, 2020. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm coming into 2021, and I'm expecting God to do some unusual things in my life. And somewhere along the line, if you make up your mind, I'm tired of this drug addiction. I'm tired of this alcohol addiction. God doesn't love you one iota less. He loves you. He's calling to you. He has compassion and mercy on us, but I'm telling you that the Lion of Judah breaks every chain and gives to us the victory again and again. Lift your hands with me, would you? Let's entertain his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Give us, Lord, the bravado in the Holy Ghost. Give us the boldness in the Espíritu Santo. Lord, give us that boldness, Lord, to declare that we have a dream, we have a vision, and we're going to get down to business with pursuing it and obtaining victories in areas where we've not known victory. Did anybody here watch the game with Clemson? Stand up. Oh, that's not for condemnation purposes. Okay, no, stand up and wave your hands. Weren't you proud? Weren't you proud of your team? I was reading this. This didn't come from me. And this writer said they didn't just beat Clemson, they destroyed them. Take that, Dabo. You might want to be a little more careful next year. What you say with your big mouth, I'm sorry, folks. I mean it sweet, in a sweet way. With your big mouth, in a nice, you know, gentle, yeah. You might want to be more careful what you say. But you know, the devil is like that. He likes to taunt us and flaunt stuff in front of us. And I'm just throwing a hook out for somebody because it's your year. You don't have to put up with depression. It's your year. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You don't have to live under the shadow and weight of condemnation. It's time for a shootout. It's time to form a ring, hallelujah, in the center of your life with the people of God and say to the devil, you stop messing with me. The threats stop today. This pressure stops today. This temptation is crippled today. So if you don't like that, bring it on. In the name of Jesus, God's going to give us victory over you. Woo! Anybody feel that way? Oh, man. So they kept that as a goal. I didn't know that. But for a whole year, Dustin, they kept it up in front of their face. They didn't get excited about playing Clemson right at the end of the year. They had been believing and training and putting a game. They knocked the ball out of the quarterback's hands 4 times. I thought heaven was supposed to be in the future. You understand, he's one of the best quarterbacks probably, I'm sure, in the nation. Urban Meyer will probably select him for his new team, all right, the Jaguar. He probably will. He's a great quarterback. But we put him under pressure. Ooh, now, I would like to put the enemy under pressure. We're in a new year. I hope you like my sport coat. It didn't go with my slacks at all, but it's cool. We've had so many wacko things happen. This morning I got up to go out and pray and my car wouldn't start. That's because my wife had driven it and left it in drive. It won't start in drive. It just doesn't work. It was wild. So I said, I ran back in, give me your keys. My car won't start. An MKX Lincoln wouldn't start. How's that grab? So she gives me her keys. I get in her car and I'm backing up. And wait a minute, there's something behind her car. She had taken a chair she had ordered out of this big, huge cardboard box. And I'm running into the cardboard box. This is how my day started. It's been an awesome day. God wanted to sort of rough me up a little, get me ready to preach this. Praise God. I had to run back there, pick up pieces of this huge box, carry it over the top of her car. I'm just trying to get to my prayer meeting. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, this is a unique way to start a Sunday. I'm carrying these huge pieces of cardboard box. Try not to wake up all the neighbors. Because when you live in a condo, you live 3 feet away from everybody. Only to get here to discover that I left my newly dry cleaned suit coat at the house. So I threw on a fill me in. Glory. It's black. My slacks are blue. I'm black and blue. Glory. I'd like to. It's not slowing me down. Not one iota. It only fires me up. It's time to get up and wage war. It's time to get up and claim the promises of God and believe that God will give you the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Spirit will operate in you. What do you want this year? Do you want this to be an average year or just surviving a year? I'm challenging you to catch a hold of a new vision and getting down to business with it. Woo! Okay, I'm going to calm down only momentarily. You know what I was doing? I was running around. I was shopping today. I almost never shop on Sunday morning. That's prayer and study day. I'm trying to find a Spanish Bible. Sister Peggy, she's going to help me the rest of the way. I ransacked Walmart. I thought, well, at least get something that will do for Brother Dave. Get him a Spanish, Bible. And so it got me into shopping and, all this other stuff after getting past a car that wouldn't start and a huge cardboard box behind my wife's car. And all we needed is one more car. Is there another car on the premises? So praise God. And God is good. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you what I'm so excited about. Sister Monica, Sister Tammy, Sister Chelsea, praise the Lord. And their beautiful kids. I'm telling you what awesome young people. God is wanting to bless our Sunday school. Sister Amber, jump up. How excited did you used to get when you played basketball? Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh. Give us a little demo. That was Kansas State, wasn't it? Whoa. See, I hear that. Oh, just join me on the court. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. We are not here to fill space. We're not here just to fill a chair. God has a calling on our church. There's an anointing on our church. There's a new harvest hitting our church. Why don't you become a part of that? Raise your hand with me. And let's claim some Holy Ghost fire and passion. Lord, fill me with new fire, new passion. God, our teacher has already challenged us to become a part of a soul-winning endeavor. You say, well, it's a pandemic. We can't do nothing till it's over. Who knows when it'll be over? Do people have to die and go to hell because the pandemic's not over? I don't think so. No. And our teacher, and I'm so glad the way that lesson went, Brother Thad, I feel like the teacher, he challenged us. What's your labor? Solomon called it labor, but what's our job or our labor? It's souls. Praise God. Go out and win somebody. Love somebody. Start a Bible study. I've got Bible studies in here. Sister Nancy, I'm going to keep her supplied. What do you need? I told her the other night, just tell me what you need. Call me up. Praise God, and I'll be on hand because she's a soul winner. She's a bell cow. Anybody know what bell cow refers to? I thought everybody knew what a bell cow was. Well, often they actually wore a bell. You know, you've heard of Ma Bell, right? I'm sorry. Ma Bell, the telephone. Okay. But no, it's not that. We had some cows on my uncle's ranch when they might be down at the orchard. But when old Stormy, she had horns. I was 8 years old. Those horns looked like they reached Tallahassee. I thought, Lord. This is where I learned the fear of the Lord and how to pray. when Stormy turned her head toward me and her horns. She had this, none of you would know what this is, right? This personality. Like, she loved to kick her milk bucket over. That was Storm. But she was a bell cow. And what that means is when she turned her head and started walking toward the barn, everybody, all the other cows got up or walked over and joined her because she was the bell cow. I'm telling you that some of you, Nancy's one of them, but some of you have that where if you will let God use you in soul-winning leadership, there are people waiting for you to decisively get up and lead them out of the wilderness into a new Canaan of blessing and promise. Oh, praise God. How many of you know that's true? Hallelujah. I think Sister Tammy and Sister Monica and Chelsea, these wonderful women, I believe not only their children who are just amazing, they are beautiful kids, but there's others. Every time we talk to them, it seems like they say, by the way, you saw what you saw, but there's some more we haven't showed you. There's some more. It's harvest. It's harvest. Ladies and gentlemen, get involved. Get up and get involved in loving people and sharing a word or a witness or your testimony. That's an area that you can improve in this year. How about church attendance? Simon. You know how we came in? We came in like this every time the doors are open. I came into a church that was on fire. And when they sang, the foundations rot. You know, if you're born in the fire, you won't melt in the sun. Man, those kids would get up and sing, and they lit the place up in the Holy Ghost. You know, making church, as much church as you can. Getting into the midweek service. What is it about midweek? Everybody needs a shot in the arm in the midweek. And we started off with this amazing teacher. I run interference with her on Wednesdays. I flutter over her. Just like, what? You know, like, okay, what do you need me to do? You need me to go get dinner? Okay, I'm going to Wendy's. What do you want at Wendy's? Okay, what else do you need? Praise God. I'm trying to keep all the interferences away from her so that she can get focused because she's so busy and so motivated to get things done. And am I saying it right? And by the time I get her here, I'm ready to almost like, here she is. I got her here. You take her the rest of the way. You know, it's like, because that's my honey, and she's my sugar, and my girlfriend, my wife, my cohort, I'm like a hummingbird, you know. Praise God, just hovering over her. What can I do? I'm not exaggerating. If I'm doing anything, I'm understating it. I try to figure out, I'm going to make calls. I'm going to try to get people stirred up to me. So if you got a call from Pastor, please be there. Oh, praise God. I'm trying to get the best crowd together so they can, you know, be inspired and blessed by her teaching ministry. But when it's all said and done, by the time the lights go out on Wednesday night, I'm exhausted. Thank you, God. How about that? How about weight loss? Should I start that song up again? Silent night. I have got to work on this. Most of us in COVID, if we were, Sister Amber inspires me on this one too. She's got these little bottles of flavoring. And she was helping me kind of break into that world, Chas. Oh, there's the water drinker right there. The water lady. I think it's water, isn't it, that you know. Do you use those? Do you... I thought she was one of the sisters. We tease her. But these gals, some of them have got such a handle on this. I need to have them help me, mentor me in this. I'll mentor you in a couple things, but you mentor me in this weight loss thing. Okay, because it's tough. But what about that being one of your goals this year? How about have you ever tithed? See, when I look at the giving reports, it's like, oh, man, some of us have not got that revelation that one-tenth of it. We honor you, Lord, with one-tenth. Actually, 100% is yours, but We're going to for sure be faithful in giving you 1/10 to support your work, your ministries, just areas that you could build a goal out of. Does that make any sense? Or maybe you're here and you don't have a ministry yet. Well, I don't want to blow your mind, but you could find one. But I don't want to give you heartburn, but I'm passing it out free, okay? Do we need help anywhere, Sister Meadows?
A few places.
A few places. The queen of the understatement. We could use an army right now. Praise God. So we'll help you if we have to. We'll find and seek. We'll find you a ministry. But then again, it might be a deal where you actually, because you want to work for God, you create a ministry. How about that? Somebody bold enough to say, in 2021, it's not going to be average no more for me anymore. No average in 2021. I am going to, here's an area. I'm going to deepen my prayer life. I'm going to deepen my prayer life. How many of you have discovered this, that when we're praying like we should be praying, ooh, that mucho gusto, you know. Ooh, yeah, comes in, and Espiritu Santo comes in to this Holy Ghost business, much strength, much gusto, enthusiasm. Praise God. Praying. When you're praying, the preacher preaches better. I know that's hard to fathom, him preaching better. No, I'm teasing. But we always want to be better. But when you're praying, it all sounds better. You actually understand it. Do you want to just stumble through 2021? Half in the church, half out of the church. Oh, listen, that's a recipe for disaster. I want to challenge somebody. I was on the phone with Brother Cunningham. He's just bouncing back from the battle of his life. He gets a hold of me at 5-something in the morning. I was already up. Some of you have really been getting a hold of me early in the mornings, but you know what? Oh, isn't it sweet? And he let me know that he and his wife are battling COVID, and what can I do to help? I gave him a list. You're laughing because you know how long that list, it got longer since you saw it last. He bought everything on that list. That's wild, man. I had 15, 20 things on that list. They were antivirals in nature. I'll give you that list if you want it. Praise God. Some of you already got it. I've edited it several times. But last time I checked with him, he said, we're back in church. We both tested negative. Oh, praise God. He's doing awesome and wonderful. But he didn't just sit around and hope for a miracle. He got up and he took action. Woo! Lift your hand. Pray with me right now. Lord, give me courage. God, give me courage to take action. Give me courage to pursue that purpose, Lord, you have brought me into the church for. Give me courage to pursue victory. Courage to shake off some chains. Praise God. Courage to be spiritual. Courage to do something new. This is what Brother Cunningham told me. He said since the pandemic started, he said, we baptized 78 people. Come on now. Somebody thought, well, you know, it's COVID. We'll just suspend all growth until COVID's over. COVID ain't God. COVID isn't king. Can I say that loud? Yes, be careful. Yes, be smart. Yes, but COVID isn't king. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Praise God. He doesn't answer to COVID. COVID doesn't frighten him. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in that virus. That's the new translation. Oh, praise God. And I'm almost done, but I want to tell you this. Don't wait to take action until the timing's perfect. Because the timing is never going to be perfect. See, I could have said, well, Brother Rick, I better go home. My wife would have sat there. She'd erased her notes once. And then she left them in the living room, I think it was, or office. And we thought, should I send her home? And I thought, no, we're just going to go ahead. And she started writing down a bunch of things as fast as you could write, ideas and thoughts and so on, and got up and kicked, just knocked it out of the park. Praise God. When her beautiful, sophisticated notes were lying in her office. So, does the Lord do this? I'm going to ask you a question, and then you tell me by lifting your hand. Does the Lord ever put people on your heart, like all of a sudden their name will come to your in your thought? Lift your hand. Wow, praise God. That's awesome. Oh, Jennifer, that is awesome. Okay, well, normally it's for somebody that you know, right? I mean, somebody that you know. So this one day, about a month ago, I started this guy's name, Chuck Yeager, famous test pilot, like an amazing hero from World War II, who had this goal of breaking the sound barrier. It had never been broken before. And I'm thinking, why is his name coming? And I'm sorry to tell you this, that I just treated it like it was a numbskull thought, or, you know, or like it was just, you know, had no meaning. But he did. So I'm going to say 2 or 3 days, Chuck Yeager, this, and I want to tell you about that day that he broke the sound barrier for the first time in 1947. But, and then all of a sudden, like a day or two later, news told me that he died. And then I knew what the deal was. All of a sudden, it came together in my thinking. God, being omniscient, knew exactly when that man was going to meet his maker, and he wanted me praying for him because he was close to having a session with his maker. And I didn't respond appropriately. But I put it together, and I thought, well, that's why you did that. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I should have been praying for him, right? So because that happened, I thought, I'm going to go look him up, because I forget the details. I just know that he became one of America's heroes, right? He had this goal, this vision, this dream. I want to break the sound barrier. But there were people in that day that said, it's impossible. All right, just like they told those runners, it's impossible to run a 4-minute mile. It's against biology. They were told that, right? Until that one gentleman, Glenn Cunningham, broke that record. He'd been in a fire as a child, and his legs had been burned, and he came back from that to break that barrier. And then the next year, there was like, I think there was 10 or 11. The next year, there was something like 300 people that broke that record once they understood this is breakable. See, the enemy wants to threaten us. This I try to be just as... I don't know. I just try to be as loving as I can be. When you get threatened, that sort of fires up the engine, doesn't it, a little bit? So I thought, I'm gonna read up on Chuck Yeager, right? He was an ace in World War II. But this guy had this goal, this dream of breaking the sound barrier, and was told by many people it was impossible. But in 1947, he did it. But this is what I didn't know. Listen to this. This is what I didn't know. 2 days before he flew that flight, in a horseback accident, he broke 2 ribs. Brother Paul, that reminds me of the miracle that God did for you. I still talk about that. Still inspires me. Man. He broke 2 ribs. Well, so the deal was, he wouldn't tell them. See, if you wait for the perfect time, it never comes. If you say, well, later in the year, you might not be alive later in the year. Or you might have lost your faith, or something might have come into your life to sort of greatly cripple your aspects or the possibilities that you don't have to deal with now. Don't think there's a perfect time. There's never a perfect time. So get this. This inspired me. Chuck Yeager, who became a general in the Air Force, but one of America's great heroes, he wouldn't tell them that he had two busted ribs, because if he had told them, they would have said, well, you can't fly. So he didn't tell them. So in the imperfectness of being kind of beat up, broke up, they tell us this. They tell us that when he flew that day, not only did he keep his injuries secret from his superiors, but he had to use a piece of a broom as a makeshift handle to ease the pain of closing the cockpit hatch. But they would never have let him fly if they had known. You know, sometimes some people, like, the smallest thing happens and you got to tell everybody. You got to notify everybody. Got to get up on Facebook and tell 3 million people that you just stubbed your toe on a turtle on the way to town or something, you know. And you need help. Pray for my toe. Well, I'm going to pray for your brain. That's what I want to pray for. You need some good Head and Shoulders shampoo. Wash out some of that toxicity. What am you saying? I'm saying you can find reasons to fail. You can find excuses. You can manufacture them until you sell them at a blue light special in Walmart. Or you can get up and say, if Chuck Yeager can get up and do. Do you know that when that vehicle went blasting above the earth over in Southern California that he was in, that when he got close to the sound barrier, that thing began to rattle and it felt to him like it was going to come apart. And if he had said, you know what, this is a little bit dangerous. Maybe I shouldn't be, oh, I need to call home and talk to my wife. She'll comfort me. Oh, no, my phone's busted. Oh. He didn't wait for a perfect time. We got some heroes here, what I call heroes. Brother Chris, his family, fighting for their country and representing, so well represented. And look at the back of the window in his truck. I'm so proud of them and that their kids. And we just got to meet him a few weeks ago. Amazing young adults. Listen, this guy didn't wait for perfect weather. He didn't wait to be perfectly healthy and no pain. In his pain, he broke the speed of sound for the first time in history. Hallelujah. And went on to break another major record. And he did it on a day when he didn't feel good and was in lots of pain. Hallelujah. Would you lift your heart to the Lord as we soften these lights and Brother Thad comes. In Jesus' name, I challenge you.